Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Hey, welcome to another week. Our special guest today is Teresa Cerner. Welcome.
Well, thanks, Ralph. It's great to be here.
I must tell you that Teresa is not only a well-respected professional counselor who's counseled in Florida and Ohio, and now she's back in Michigan, but she's also my sister.
Yeah, in fact, Ralph, that's your response to the Lord when you were a young man at Notre Dame. Had a profound, profound effect on my own life. I was one of those usual teenagers involved in anything that was new and cutting edge and very depressed. And I thought that that was maybe all there was to life. And I had become very cynical and very cut off from the Lord. And as you know, we were raised in a good Catholic family. And, you know, the standards were lived both outside of the house and inside of the house. So it wasn't for want of being exposed to the Lord.
And isn't that too bad that we could have good influence in our life and reject it, you know, and get a good upbringing and somehow drift away? I mean, isn't that too bad?
It really is. We, you know, even with our kids, when we were raising our kids, that we thought that if we did this and we had family prayers and we sent them to, you know, Christian school and we didn't let them listen to rock music when they were too young, then it would equal children that didn't have to go through their own crisis of faith.
Yeah. People have to make that perilous journey of freedom, don't they?
It drives parents crazy.
I know. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your story, how you got to be a professional Catholic counselor, and then I want to ask you some questions about counseling.
Great. I met my husband at your wedding, as you know, and we had five children, and we had decided that I would stay home and be an at-home mom while Randy was the provider, financial provider. And when our last child was in school, that's when I decided to go back to school and complete my degrees. And when I was looking through the course catalog, oh, by the way, this is at Franciscan University in Steubenville, which gave me a great education. Mm-hmm. I was looking through the topics, and I thought the one that jumped out to me was a Master's of Arts in Counseling. Mm-hmm. And so I finished my bachelor's in psychology and got my master's in counseling because I felt like I was naturally inclined toward that way, and this would be a good professional fit. Mm-hmm. And not only professionally, but spiritually as well. Mm-hmm. I felt like the Lord had given me some gifts in the area of discernment and wisdom, and so this was a good kind of professional fit, at least for me spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Well, you already were there was almost like a gift of counseling that the Lord had given you. You already were counseling people, and now you got your credentials.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the kind of fit. You know, and I was looking at other, well, maybe I should go into education or theology or whatever, but I felt like that was, to me, it was kind of like just jumped off the page.
Yeah, this is what the Lord had gifted you for in a particular way.
Yeah. And I'll mention something about being a Catholic counselor, too, is that I feel like who the therapist is as a person is an essential part of the instrument for healing, because people usually come in because they're hurting or they're broken in some ways. There's an injury to the human person or the human relationship. And I think being a good professional counselor is a must. But if you can also get a good professional counselor or therapist who's also a Christian, it just kind of adds a whole nuance to the gifting and the effectiveness of counseling. Sometimes I'll be in my office and I'll be talking to someone and I'll just, you know, through the Holy Spirit, just kind of see clearly what that core issue is.
Yeah.
And I'll feel like I have it kind of like a little road path that will even short circuit some of my professional kind of poking around here or there. I'll kind of be able to see kind of where it really is the heart of the matter for this person.
So you really find natural gifts and spiritual gifts, natural qualifications and spiritual qualifications, sort of like working together.
Yes.
And if you can get those things together in a counselor, that's the best. But I know that you've counseled in so many different situations. You've counseled in state agencies. You've counseled children. You've counseled adults. You've qualified for counseling licenses in Florida and Ohio and in Michigan.
Yeah.
And you've just seen a whole range of types of people. What kind of things do people come to you for?
Just about everything, but there are certain themes. You know, I think as people, as individuals, I see coming in with profound depression or profound anxiety. The other category would be very conflicted or broken relationships. For children, behavior problems that are really, you know, for a child, they're very, they're not very verbal. They don't have a sophisticated vocabulary to describe what's going on inside of them internally. So very often it's the child's behavior is the message.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just don't do this or don't do this or he's won't listen, but it has a profound message that the child is expressing what's going on inside of him and, of course, being discriminating to understand what that message is.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, unfortunately, a lot of abuse that goes on in our human race. You know, my perspective of the brokenness of mankind comes from the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really see how...
You see the fall. You
see
the effects of original sin. You see the wounds of actual sin in people's lives, and you see the damage it does.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's why the whole area of therapy and counseling has to be seen as a integrated instrument of healing and of wholeness, and of course, holiness.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes a lot of this damage from original sin gets in the way of people's relationships with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
so that they're not able to hear him except for through a filter that's been the result of abuse or lack of love or whatever, even biochemistry issues.
Yeah, it's like they're locked in a prison of lies that keep them from perceiving reality correctly or keep them perceiving who God really is or who they really are or what's really happening in their life. And in some ways, the Lord could directly intervene and just set people free by however he wants to. But one of the instruments he uses is counseling to help people to identify the lies or lead them out of the prison that they've gotten into by their reaction to traumatic events or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely. In fact, my first line of healing is the Lord just coming in and healing that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be my preference for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, it'll be priests and pastors of churches and spiritual directors who will refer people to me in my office because they know they're dealing with something that isn't an solely a spiritual relationship with the Lord issue, but it has a level of emotional and behavioral complexity that needs a professional to deal with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when we've got that kind of straightened out and working better, God bless, you know, go on your way and be well.
Yeah. You know? Do you see a lot of people being helped?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Give us like say somebody comes to you with, you know, like an anxiety, they don't even know where it's coming from, but it's making them fearful of almost everything in their life. They're just anxious and nervous and afraid, and they don't know where that's coming from, and they can't seem to do anything about it. Like what goes on sometimes in those situations? I know each case is individual, but you know.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that because everything is so nuanced by the person and the personality and the age and the relationships.
The actual external circumstances in their life. And
exactly. But I would say that there are some commonalities. One is to hear the theme in the person's life. Most people don't necessarily are born with anxiety, but it's a learned response. And whether it's a physiological response, sometimes it comes very early in life because of attachment problems with the child and the mother or the child and the caretaker, and could have felt abandoned, like their needs were not being met as an infant. That doesn't happen verbally to an infant, but there is an experience of life which is very anxiety provoking. How am I going to get my needs met?
Mm-hmm.
And very often for people with anxiety, there's probably good cause in their life of why they might be anxious.
Yeah.
It just didn't spring up spontaneously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to help the person understand
they
the etiology.
They weren't cared for. They weren't safe. They weren't secure. Yeah.
Right.
And so there's a reality to their response. Yeah.
Right. And especially with anxiety, it tends to generalize, is that what was once, let's say, somebody, a friend of ours, she was locked out of the house with a dog that had run loose.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been on the step of the house. Her friends were in the house and wouldn't let her in because they were afraid the dog would come in.
Yeah.
So this isolated experience, she came from a good, secure family, really allowed fear and anxiety
mm-hmm.
to enter her life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it started with a dog, then became more fears of external things. And so she began to be more afraid of traveling, of new situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it generalizes. It tends to ooze and spread and network.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important to have both a therapist understand what some of the root causes are, but also the person to understand is like, oh, okay, there's some rhyme and rhythm to why I am so fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the anxiety, is if you don't know where it's coming from,
mm-hmm.
it makes you feel more of a victim and vulnerable.
It's like the truth will set you free.
Yes.
It's like there's a kind of almost deliverance from fear that can happen through
knowledge
through
and
truth,
understanding.
Through.
And then a big piece of therapy, of course, is our thought process. And because you're feeling anxious, probably your thoughts are anxious as
mm-hmm.
well. So one of the ways after understanding the beginnings of these things is to also begin to examine our thought process, what we allow to go on in our heads. And that would be like stage two,
mm-hmm.
and to examine that and then to restructure your thinking to be more positive and confident and
mm-hmm.
secure.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I'm going in and there's a new boss this week, what's going to happen? You know, all this anxiety, not sleeping, not eating. One way to reframe it would be, well, this could be a great opportunity for me to have someone new supervising me, you know, of re-putting the facts in a more positive, less anxiety-provoking manner.
Yeah, yeah, like identifying the things that keep producing the anxiety and the thought patterns and saying, okay, don't think to yourself that anymore. Think this.
Right.
And you have like a training to...
Exactly. Exactly. And be very specific and work with that person to come up with a sentence that makes sense to them. Because me just giving them a Teresa statement isn't going to fit well in the way they think internally.
Right.
It's called self-talk.
Yeah.
And so we help the clients come up with their own reinterpretation of fearful and anxiety-provoking thoughts.
Yeah.
And it works the same way with depression as well.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I was just thinking of some scripture passages that pretty much say the same thing.
Yeah.
It says, think about whatever is lovely, good, beautiful, you know,
right.
Like make an effort to stop thinking negatively and start thinking about the good things, the positive things. You know, scripture, you know, says that, or it says, renew your mind,
Exactly.
You know, like, so there's like a, this is helping people come into their heritage, really, as sons and daughters of God, too, you know.
Absolutely. And even the statement of take every thought captive to Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, is that we just help, we've figured out some helpful ways.
Of helping people do
these very things.
Helping them identify how they're not doing it and trying to help them do it. Well, you know, you mentioned depression. Could you tell us a little bit about when people come depressed, what's going on?
Oh, my. That's a loaded question.
I know a lot of things could be going on and everything, but tell us something about depression.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we started...
I don't want to turn this into a Dr. Phil thing where you solve everybody's problems on the air.
Let's say
a few things.
Okay. One thing that got my attention when we were chatting before is there any correlation between emotional and behavioral problems and spiritual growth and direction?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting that both with anxiety and depression, I see John of the Cross all the time when I see this because of when someone is under the grip of depression, there really is a darkness. Either people describe it either as a darkness or a heavy weight that is resting on them. And again, understanding the court? When did this begin? Have you ever experienced this before to understand the beginnings of this particular episode of depression? And then also really seeing like what might be out of joint or amiss or unbalanced in their life that might be feeding the feelings of depression. And sometimes I just see the Lord in it too, of just saying, you know, this is a journey that this person needs to travel as they really make their life right in a way that will lead them onto the path of holiness. Mm-hmm. And it looks very practical and everyday, but very often it is the next step. And so it's not anti-Christian to go to counseling,
right,
but it very well can be part of your journey to holiness and to heaven.
Well, you know, I've been to counseling.
Tell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we were having trouble with one of our daughters, you know, and we decided we really needed to go to a counselor. So we went to a Christian counselor, and he, of course, didn't want to just talk to our daughter. He wanted to talk to us. So Ann and I went with her, and I thought it was great. You know, like he'd say, you know, he'd point out ways in which I was addressing certain issues and ways in which I was relating. And he'd say, you know, why don't you try saying this, or why don't you try not saying this. I thought it was great. I felt like it was really, really helpful. So anyway,
That's good to know. And it's good too to know that you don't have to have these complicated post-traumatic stress type issues in order to come to counseling.
Yeah.
In fact, a good piece of my practice is dealing with relationships and families.
Yeah, marriage and family. Yeah.
Yeah, marriage and family. And of course, this is, you know, one way to look at it is that a child is a barometer of what's going on in the family as a unit. And yes, they can have isolated or independent issues, but sometimes they're the voice. And so sometimes the child is the what we call the identified patient. And we bring the family in to understand how those emotions, behaviors, problems fit within the context of the family, mm-hmm, which is exactly what your counselor did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a very effective way. And usually what happens is that as you make apparently minor adjustments within the family unit, you begin to see the child decreasing the symptoms that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of a sign that we're on the right track.
Yeah.
But I think there's a doctor called Dr. John Gottman. He's a big researcher for marriage and relationships. And one little rule of thumb he says is that there should be 5 positive contacts between individuals to every 1 negative or critical one.
Mm.
And he says he can predict relationship success or failure based on the ratio of positive to negative comments, which makes sense, you know, logical sense. And that could even be just as you're passing someone, you know, touching them on the arm or encouraging them. In fact, noticing what's good is the theme. If you can get a family to begin to notice what's good about each other instead of what's bad about each other, it really can have a profound effect on it.
Now, I know that these days in counseling and therapy that medication plays a role. Could you just say a few things about that? Sometimes it does, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, I know with depression, sometimes just to get the person to be able to deal with things.
Absolutely. In fact, what happens with it usually comes from 3 different sources. One is sometimes your family genetics just plays a role in how your brain processes neurotransmitters. And neurotransmitters are the agents that control mood and sleep and appetite, motivation, energy, all those things that are maybe under the umbrella of depression or anxiety. And so just your plain genetics could really put you in a position where some medication would help to get out of that darkness, to get out of the heavy weight of depression, so that you could actually be thinking more clearly and be able to make some decisions. Stay on that medication for a while until your brain is doing naturally what the medication is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a mood enhancer. It doesn't change you as a person or a personality. Another thing is sometimes a person has had so many tough things happen in their life. It's like being hit and hit and hit and hit again. And so their absorption of these neurotransmitters have really been compromised. And so sometimes being on what we call an SSRI helps readjust and rebalance it back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to artificially change anybody or artificially elevate a mood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting people back to the starting point of normal.
Yeah.
So for certain cases, and especially with trauma, Repeated losses is another area that I would see. Mm-hmm. But thanks for asking, because sometimes there's a lot of confusion mm-hmm. that you're just going to be given this happy pill.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't take that, you know.
Yeah.
What it is it's a biochemical situation which can be brought back to normal functioning the way God originally intended it to be.
You know, I bet there's 100 questions that our viewers would like me to ask you, but we only have a few minutes left. And yes. I want to say, how do you go about finding a Christian counselor?
Good question. In fact, one of your staff members just asked me that when she was looking for a counselor, she didn't know how to go about finding one. Mm-hmm. Because even if you Google sometimes Christian counselors, you're not in the internet system in a way that can be caught by some of the search engines. Mm-hmm. So this is what I suggest. Your parish priest or your minister, ask them who they refer people to.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, word of mouth referral is probably the strongest. And I don't know how you got your counselor, but sometimes when you need one, you begin to ask people around, yeah. Well, I knew you had trouble with your teenager. What did you do?
Yeah, right.
And those would be two good. And then the third would be to try to Google a Catholic counselor, a Christian counselor. And also your primary care physician does this all the time.
Yeah. Now, what about, there's a lot of people who can't afford counselors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of people who have these difficulties that don't have insurance or, you know, is there any hope for them?
Yes, there is. Usually there's organizations especially designed for people in this situation, because there's an awful lot of people, employed and unemployed, that don't have insurance to cover mental health counseling. And so there's places like Catholic Charities, or in our area, Samaritan Center, or also Community Mental Health. Those are organizations that are all designed to provide services on a scale for what your income and your family size is.
What if you don't have any income?
And they can do, that would be a sliding fee scale of zero.
And so there's so a possibility
they
of getting
do
help.
That.
Yeah.
And also in these organizations, very often there are Christian counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, when you call, ask if there's somebody on their staff that is a Christian. Mm-hmm. And so that you both have one, someone who's good, and number two, the kind of the dynamic duo of therapy is a good therapist professionally, plus having a faith life.
Well, great. You know, everybody, scripture says everybody has been given a spiritual gift. What we're seeing here with Teresa is a spiritual gift working through her to help set people free in counseling, but everybody's been given a spiritual gift. So discover your spiritual gift. Teresa, we only have a few minutes left. I know that everybody who might be interested can't go to you for counseling. You're here in a local area, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Washtenaw County. But could you say a few words of encouragement to people who are maybe suffering from some of the things we've been speaking about? Maybe say a prayer?
Absolutely. I just would like to tell you that it takes courage to pick up the phone and call for help. That doesn't mean that you're being weak or that you're not believing in God strongly enough. But let the Holy Spirit give you the strength and give you the courage that if you've been trying to solve some of these problems over and over and over again and losing traction, not being able to get on with your life, I just encourage you to pick up the phone and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the grace and the blessing to go forward in your life, because the Lord has need of you in His kingdom. And oftentimes these types of conditions of depression and anxiety and family conflict and addictions, those all keep us from being able to be freely and totally available to the Lord for ourselves and for other people in our lives. And so that's why it takes courage, is come on, let's get on with your life and live for the Lord. He needs you. Let's just turn to the Lord right now and look for His grace and His blessing. Lord Jesus, we know all has been in You on the cross. All of our sufferings, all of our pain, all of the effects of original sin in our lives, You took to the cross. You suffered. You died. But most importantly, Jesus Christ, You rose from the dead. And because You did all of this, the Holy Spirit was free to come to us. And now I ask You to pour out Your Holy Spirit upon this audience and all the people whom they love and care for. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of Your faithful and give them the grace that they need to fight the good fight in their lives and bring the word of the gospel, both to themselves and to those they love. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for those words of encouragement and that prayer. And thank you so much for being with us. And thanks for your service to so many people.
Thank you, Ralph. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, you know, every week there's an opportunity to discover a new aspect of Jesus Christ. And so I just want to invite you to join us again next week, same time, same place.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.